I want to preach this morning a sermon entitled Weakness. And I'm going to start with a scripture from Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3. And this is speaking about the Messiah. And it's repeated in Matthew 12 and 20 as well. It says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth." We serve a God who helps the weak. We serve a God who is a friend of the dispossessed, the unlovely, the world's rejects, the oppressed, and those who are failing. Yet we live in a world which promotes the strong, the clever, the confident, the rich, the successful, the winners. We live in a dog-eat-dog world, don't we?
Yes.
But in this scripture we read here in Isaiah, it speaks of the Messiah, and it tells us that a bruised reed he will not break. Now, some say that the reed that's spoken of here is a simple musical pipe made of a reed that was used by shepherds to shepherd their sheep. And if it was bruised, it would become inharmonious, it would become harsh to the ear, and would have not been any use, and was broken up and discarded by the shepherd and tossed aside as no longer useful. For the shepherd, it would have become useless, purposeless. It had failed to fulfil the purpose for which it was made. And even if it's just a reed or a stalk that has been spoken of here, the kind that you will find in marshes, it's a slender stalk, and if it gets bruised, it can bear no weight at all. It becomes useless and only fit for the fire. And this same imagery we find in 2 Kings in chapter 18 verse 21. Israel were looking to Egypt for deliverance instead of looking to God, as they should have been. And God said to them, "Now behold, you trust upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, upon which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him." A bruised reed is something that is useless, something that is weak, something that can't be leant upon. And it also speaks in the scripture about a smouldering flax. And the word flax we get from a Greek word which is linon, from which we get the word linen. And it was used often as a wick for a lamp or a candle. And a smoking flax is a smoking wick. It was designed to bring forth light, but instead it just brings smoke and sore eyes. Not much use at night when you're trying to find your way down a path. Something that would normally be quenched or extinguished. This imagery that we read of in the scripture is clearly speaking about weakness. Something weak that is ready to fail. Something that is helpless. Those who this world would try to break or extinguish or trample on. Those who the Lord refers to as the poor in spirit, people who know their weakness, who see their need, who see themselves as they really are, insufficient in themselves, lacking strength, lacking ability, lacking spirituality, lacking knowledge and understanding, lacking hope, lacking courage, lacking goodness, lacking righteousness, and in need of help from above. Those who can feel the weight of sin upon their souls. Those who know that they need forgiveness and grace. Those who feel they are without strength. Those who know they are sick and in need of a physician. Those who are brokenhearted. Those that are held in captivity. Those who are blind and bruised. I'm sure all of us have felt bruised in our lives spiritually, or weak in ourselves, or lacking what is required. What could be weaker than a bruised reed or a smouldering flax? If a bird lands on a bruised reed, it'll break. A smouldering flax can be quenched by a child's hand. This is a picture of frailty, of weakness, of poverty of spirit. This is the wounded in spirit, those that are ready to break, those whose strength is gone, those who have come to the end of themselves, those who know that they have nothing to Jesus to bring, only to his cross to cling. And the God that we serve this morning does not reject these despised ones. They're the ones he builds his kingdom with. They're the ones he uses. They're the ones he lifts up. They're the ones he empowers to do his will. Christ does not despise the weak. He does not break the bruised reed. He does not quench the smouldering flax. He wants to restore the bruised reed. He wants to rekindle the smouldering flax. He has compassion on the weak. He reaches out to the downtrodden. He didn't come into this world to gather the strongest men for revolution or the cleverest. He came to show mercy to the weak, to the feeble ones, to those who cry out for justice and mercy. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through to 31, it says this: "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." God doesn't treat the weak as perhaps the world would or we would, dismissing them, treating them with disdain. But Jesus wants to restore the bruised reed. He wants to make it strong again. He wants to reignite the smouldering flax so that it can be useful again and bring forth light. And perhaps this morning you're a bruised reed. Perhaps you've backslidden or compromised. Perhaps the sound that's coming from your mouth isn't harmonious anymore. Well, Jesus doesn't give up on you. He wants to revive us. He wants to strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Because Jesus is the God who delivers, the God who cleanses, the God who heals the brokenhearted. Perhaps you've been bruised tonight by others, crushed by the disappointments in life. Perhaps you're not where you thought you would be in the Lord, struggling, weak, hopeless, failing. Well, there's good news for you today. Jesus will not break you. He will not quench you out. If we'll wait upon him, it says he'll renew our strength. And that's the beauty of the God we serve. He is the God of the second chance. He is the God who heals. He is the God who lifts up, who revives. He is the God who knows all our weaknesses and failings. He knows our limitations. Do you remember that old Clint Eastwood movie, A Man's Got to Know His Limitations? Well, we are limited, aren't we, without God? But he's our strength. He knows what he can do in us and through us if we'll allow him to, if we'll trust him. You know, knowing about our weakness is a good thing. Thank God that you can see your weakness this morning, because there's many proud and confident types who don't see or perceive any need. They think that they're strong enough, that they're rich enough, that they have need of nothing. These are the self-confident and the arrogant, the ones that God cannot help. Those who think they have earned or deserve all that they have and all that they are. They boast in their achievements, in their possessions or their abilities. The truth is, though, without God, you and I are nothing. All that we have, all that we are, is purely by his grace, isn't it, this morning? Yes. We don't deserve his grace, but he gives it us. We're only really fit for the fire. We're unprofitable servants. The only goodness is what God gives us. The only righteousness that we possess is his righteousness. And the only strength we truly have is from him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We can't bear fruit of ourselves. We can only bear fruit if we abide in the vine. It's the vine that causes the fruit to grow, not the branch. Life comes from the vine alone. We can't rely on ourselves. When we rely on ourselves, we just become religious, denying the power of God. Self-made piety does not produce the righteousness of God this morning. 2 Corinthians 3 and 5 says this: "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." He is our sufficiency this morning. If we look at ourselves, we're going to get discouraged pretty quickly. And we may even give up in our heart if we look at ourselves. We can withdraw from God if we look at ourselves because we feel inadequate, never good enough. We're like Adam in the Garden of Eden, hiding from God. And God has to say, Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding from me? See, withdrawing from God is not the answer this morning. When you're faced with your own weakness and failings, it's then that we ought to be running to God for help in the time of need, to ask him to provide what we lack, to draw near to God that he can draw near to us. You know, we can't fight this Christian life in our own strength, can we? You know, when you look in the Bible, there's many men that were beset by weaknesses, but yet God used them powerfully. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 3-5, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Moses was a man used mightily of God. Exodus 4:10-11. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Then there's Gideon, the mighty man of valour. Judges chapter 6, 14-16. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then there's David, a man after God's own heart, yet beset with weakness, crumbled at the sight of Bathsheba, conspired to kill her husband, full of weakness, yet used mightily by God. And let's not forget Samson. He only had strength when his hair was grown long, because that's when the anointing of God was upon him. But without God's anointing, he was just an ordinary, weak man like you and I. See, we're nothing without God's grace and anointing, are we? Without God's power in our life, we're just ordinary, weak men and women, beset with failings and flaws, weaknesses and frailty, bruised reeds, smouldering flaxes. But when you allow God to get hold of your life, then the possibilities become limitless, because what is impossible with men is possible with God. The Bible says, greater works than these shall you do. You may be filled with unbelief this morning about what God can do in your life. But when you say no, God says yes. When you say I can't, God says you can. Because God is God who works in us and through us. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God delights in using weak vessels. He's chosen the weak things of the world to display his glory because it gives God glory to do that. God delights in using broken vessels because when we're proud and when we're strong, God can't use us. We can be too strong for God, too stubborn, too independent, too proud, too self-willed. The scripture tells us that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 4, 7-11. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. This is why God uses the weak and the foolish things of the world, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us, because it gives God glory, not man. Our boast is only in Christ, and in the cross, and in the power of the resurrection. Because that's what sustains us, isn't it? That's what keeps us. That's what empowers us. In all our trials, he's with us. Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Have you ever felt perplexed? Have you ever been hard pressed on every side, where everything's coming against you, and yet in the midst of this, we can find strength and succour in our God? So we're not to despair when we're feeling weak, when we feel bruised, when we feel feeble, when care is pressing us down a bit, when Satan tells you what a failure you are, how useless you are, what a second-rate Christian you are, how you're the least in the church, the one with the most problems and the most hang-ups. God delights in you because you're exactly qualified for him to work in you. He chooses the weak. He chooses the foolish. He chooses the feeble. He delights in broken vessels. That's the God we serve. When Christ came, he didn't come with a big show of strength, but he came in weakness and gentleness and humility. He came as the suffering servant. And he came to save such as you and I, the brokenhearted, the feeble, the bruised, the poor in spirit. If you lack strength this morning, that's good. Ask God and he'll give us what we lack. Ask and you shall receive. James 1 verse 5-8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. God gives to all liberally, and that includes you and I, by the way, without reproach. But we have to ask in faith, and that's the key here. We have to trust God, not doubting him, not being double-minded, not just with lip service. Trusting God is paramount to receiving from God. Do you believe this morning that he'll work all things out for good? Do you believe that he'll complete the work that he's begun in you? Do you believe that he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to him? Do you believe that he'll never forsake you or leave you? That those who come to him he will in no wise cast out? That your sufficiency is in him and him alone? That you don't rely on your thoughts, your opinions, your strength and resources, but that you trust in the living God, who can do more than we can ask or think? Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, you know, does not God provide for his children? What sort of father would God be if he couldn't provide what we need to do the things that he requires of us and calls us to? You know, the only limit on God is our own unbelief. Yes, if we look to ourselves, we will become quickly discouraged. Our hearts will melt and faint when we see all of our lack, our inadequacy, our inability. But if we look to him who's able to keep us from falling, then you'll know that when you're weak, you're strong in him. The only thing that prevents God from meeting our needs, from giving us the strength and peace in our soul that we need, is our own pride, our own stubbornness, our own unbelief. Paul boasted of his weakness because he understood it was an opportunity to see God work in his life. All Paul desired was the life of Christ working in him and through him. And that should be our desire too, that there'd be less of us and more of him, that we would diminish so that he would increase. Too often we have too much of us. We haven't fully died. But if Christ is going to live in anyone, we have to fully die, fully surrender, fully be broken. We have to let go of any hope of saving ourselves, of doing it our way. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. We have to go to the cross daily and die to us. And it's painful sometimes. Die to ourselves. Go to the cross with all our weakness and acknowledge we need his grace, his strength, his power in our life. Like Jacob, too often we're too strong. We're self-willed. And God has to wrestle with us and dislocate our hip, spiritually, so to speak, to weaken us so that we can learn to rely on him. I think that's why God often allows us to fail, to bring us to a place where we know we need him, where we can see our weakness. And when we do that, he does strengthen us, doesn't he? And he does renew us. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31 says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God?" And that's you and I so often, isn't it? Oh, God's forgotten about me. My way is hidden from the Lord. We feel ignored by God, and yet God says to us, verse 28, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Amen. God renews the weak and the weary, the faint and the feeble, and gives strength to those who have none. And he never forsakes nor leaves us, does he? And the scripture says, "A bruised reed he will not break, a smouldering flax he will not quench." You know, weakness isn't necessarily a bad thing if it drives us to God and makes us learn to rely on our God for all our strength and all that we need. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning.